Now, we're going to look at the second reading, which is from the letter to the Philippians. We've left the letter to the Romans. We went almost through it. Lectio continua, they call it, continual reading. Skipping toward the end, we skipped some chapters even. But we did the whole thing from 1 to 16. Now we're working on Philippians. And we're going to be more selective. So we're going to look now at chapter 1, verses 20 to 24, and then 27. But I want to give you background of where we are in this letter to the Philippians. By the way, the Philippians were the first European community to be evangelized. Do you remember in the book of Acts, they're over, they tried to go this way and the Lord wouldn't let them, this way and the Spirit of the Lord stopped them, so they're waiting. And then Paul has a vision of a Macedonian man. And the commentators will say, you wouldn't miss the Macedonian man because they dressed a very special way. And he said, come over and help us. So for the first time, at least in Paul, the gospel reached Europe and it went to Philippi, which was one of his favorite communities his whole life long. He really loved them a lot and they loved him. And so he's starting now in this, he's in jail. As far as we can tell, wherever he is, we don't know where he is, but he's in jail. And there's a real possibility that he's going to be killed. He would be decapitated, as he finally was, because he's a Roman citizen. They couldn't crucify him or have another form of shameful death. So he starts, we're going to start with verse 20, but to just give you an idea, I want you to know, brothers, that my situation has turned out rather to advance the gospel, so that my imprisonment has become well known in Christ throughout the whole praetorium, which is the guard around the chief ruler of wherever he was, and to all the rest. So that the majority of the brothers, having taken encouragement in the Lord from my imprisonment, dare more than ever to proclaim the word fearlessly. They got over being afraid. That's great. Okay? Now, of course, some preach Christ through rivalry, others from goodwill. The latter act out of love, aware that I'm here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition. And then I'm skipping. What difference does it make? As long as in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is being proclaimed, and that I rejoice. You see how he wants Christ known. Somehow, even if they get it from somebody preaching from a bad motive, they can still get it. Okay. And so, he goes on from there, and our voice verses start in just a moment. I shall continue to rejoice, for I know that this will result in deliverance for me through your prayers and support from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then, we start our text. My eager expectation and hope is I shall not be put to shame in any way. That's all I worry about, that I don't shame the name of Christ, that if I'm going to die now, I do it well, and I don't embarrass my Lord. You see? So he's discussing life or death, and he's thinking about it. Now, not many people in jail, with a possible death sentence coming down to them, assess their future like Paul does. You see? He says, my eager expectation and hope is that I shall not be put to shame in any way, but with all boldness now as always, Christ will be magnified in my body. You see? Megalurthintisite Christos ento somati mu. Christ will be magnified, whether through life or through death. But my body. And what he means by his body is his whole physical existence, and including his life, his place, it's his whole physical existence, that Christ will be magnified through it, whether I live or whether I die. Either one, you see, will be glorify Christ. Okay. And then he's got a little bit of rhyme here. To me, tozein Christos, ke to apathonin kerdos. To live is Christ, Christos, and to die is kerdos, which means gain, profit. Actually, it's better to die. I'm tired. I've been beat up a lot. I'm ready to go, and I will see my Lord. And then, as he describes it in Thessalonians, I will be with Christ, seeing Christo. So there he is, you see, this apostle, this mystic. And he's going to say now, you see, I don't know which to choose. I want to help you. I want to preach to you. I want to continue preaching to you. But I'd love to go see my Lord. That's a pretty mature Christian, wouldn't you say? He's not saying, I'm scared to die, but if I have to die, I guess it'll be all right. Oh, help me out. And no, he's saying, if I die, I die. My whole life, my whole being belongs to Christ. It's his. Let him do with it what he wants. That's major league ball. And that's why he's saying, you see, for me to live on in the flesh, that is fruit of labor, fruit of work. I don't know how to translate that here. Fruitful labor for me. Yeah. I can preach to more people. More people will come to know my Lord Christ. That's a good thing. So I'm willing to stay. Now remember, he's not young anymore. He's been shipwrecked 3 times. He's been beaten. He's been stoned, maybe to death. We don't know outside. I think it's Derbe. Because remember, he was dead. They left him for dead, and the people gathered around and prayed, and he got up. And whether he was raised from the dead or just wasn't dead yet, we'll have to ask him when we see him. We don't know. But, you know, it hasn't been that he's taken Sundays off for golf, you know. He's been working, driven. You know, the love of Christ presses me, urges me. You see, this is a mature apostle. We've had others. Mother Teresa was like this. Just keep going. Not a workaholic, a Christaholic, you know. It's different. And so, you see, I'm torn between the two. You see, I long to depart. And the word there, analise, is a word, the Hebrew word under it is to pull up stakes. I want to fold up my tent and move on. That's what's behind that, you see. Analise. And be with Christ. Isn't that the whole reason why we were created? Isn't that the whole reason why we were conceived and born? Isn't that the whole reason why the Lord Christ died for us? And you know how dumb we are. If our health is good, we have enough friends, we have enough money, we're comfortable, we'd stay here forever. Do we yearn to be with Christ? Or is that just the inevitable, unavoidable end of a life? See, here's Paul, a mature man, saying, I leave it in the Lord's hands. Whatever he wants is fine by me. But if I look at it, if I stay, I can work more. And if I go, I'll be with my Lord. And I love them both. I love you. I want to work with you. I want to preach more, bring more people to know my Lord Christ. But I love Jesus, and I'd love to be with him. And so that's how he's going there, you see. And so to be with Christ, the much better choice, I forget how they translated here, well, far better. Paulo, malon, krison. But I think that I'll remain in the flesh because it's more necessary for you. Now, that's a very mature dilemma, isn't it? Just think of it. Here's a human being saying, well, I've got these two futures depending on whether they cut my head off, you know, whether I'm killed out of this prison. And I don't know which one it's going to be. My case is still pending, I guess. I don't know. But one way or the other, these choices, one of these choices, will be given to me, forced on me. They'll either kill me or they'll let me go. If they kill me, I go to be with Christ. If they let me go, I can go on preaching and helping him. And I'm torn. Clearly, the better thing is to go and be with Christ. But the more useful thing is to stay with you. You see how? Wouldn't it be great if we'd let the Lord work in us so that we're like that? I don't care which one. They both look good to me. Certainly, to get rid of the weight of this poor old body, as he says in 2 Corinthians, put off this tent, you know, and go see Jesus. Hey, that's why I was created. That's why the Lord called me. That's what I've been looking forward to ever since I met him on the way to Damascus. But if they don't kill me, then I'm going to go on preaching. And the first I prefer, but the second is really more necessary for you. And so that's how it goes. And then it starts with verse 25. And this I know with confidence, that I shall remain and continue in the service of all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So that your boasting in Christ Jesus may abound on account of me, when I come to see you again. You see, by the power of Christ, they let him out of jail, and he's around preaching again, you see. And then our editors add what could be the next line, but the first line of the next section, is what I'm trying to say. Only conduct yourselves in a way worthy of the gospel. So whether I come and see you or am absent and hear news of you, that you are standing firm in the Spirit with one mind struggling together for the faith of the gospel, not intimidated by any in any way by your opponents. That's all I'm asking of you, that you love Jesus, that you preach him, that you win people over, that you're faithful to him, then my life is a success. So I can die, and if I don't, I'll come and see you. You can see how Paul is at that place which the gospel is going to show us. Whatever you want, Lord, that is fine by me. But if I look forward to the options, being killed and going to see you, or living and working for the good of my brothers, it's a hard choice. Imagine. It's a hard choice. Certainly it's better to go see you, Jesus. But if I'm more useful to the brothers, that's fine. I'm happy to stay until you call me. That's a mature man.